Sure.
That's a little loud. It was a pleasure for me up to that point. And so as we get used to the sound system, it'll take a little bit of finesse. For me, it still sounds loud. So if you cut the gain a little bit, that's better. I have a note to read this after services, but I thought I better read it now or I'll not remember it after services. Here's a note from Heather. She said, I need help packing a truck Tuesday afternoon, sometime after 4. And anyone who can help, please let me know. And so we'd be happy to do that. In the last couple of weeks, things have been very active. It's been exciting. We talked about lessons about commitment. And I mentioned, for me as well, what I try to do is cover all the bases, know everything, and of course I can't. And so I try to probably think more, do more than is within my capability. And somebody suggested a lesson on thankfulness. And so what that does for me is it just allows me to calm down to a mild roar. It's just great being here with you all. And I want to say thank you again both to Don and his wife Rita as our hosts here. It's just great being together. We appreciate the acoustics. So this afternoon, we kind of want to say this morning because that's usually where it is. I came across a survey that finds, at least from American standpoint, that they think their gratitude is increasing. The other thing I didn't put in here, while they think everybody else's gratitude is decreasing. Probably that's not so, but that's what they said. And 90% of the people polled say that grateful people are more fulfilled, lead richer lives, and are more likely to have friends. Well, let me ask you, do you like being around total downers all the time? No, we like people that have some enthusiasm, and everybody will have down spots and difficulties, but generally we look for people, are they enthusiastic? In our case, do they love the Lord? Is our attitude one that builds them up and builds us up? As I thought about it, here's an individual that was separated from friends, beaten brutally and repeatedly, and jailed for years for crimes they did not commit. That, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And during this 5-year imprisonment, house arrest, he says to the Ephesians in one of the prison epistles, always giving thanks for all things. Now, you do that, don't you? No, me either. So that's why it's good. I just kind of get focused on whatever the challenge is. And it helps us. Like one person said, lift up our eyes and listen for the shout. Because we get focused on the stuff of life rather than the creator of life. And I thought, well, how can Paul say that? How can he say, always rejoice, always pray, always give thanks? Well, Paul, look at your life. You start off, and this will be familiar to most of us, in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, on Paul's 3 recorded missionary journeys. On the first one, they start off with Barnabas and John Mark with their helper. They get over to Perga, Pamphylia, so they get past the little Mediterranean island of Cyprus, get to the coast, get to the seaport, get to the first town after the seaport. And Luke records for us, when they came to Perga, John left them. You're looking at the mountains at that spot of the seaport. And I thought, what was John feeling? People really don't know. Luke didn't record exactly why he left. My guess has always been, oh boy, that's way scarier than I had planned. I don't think this is for me. You know, Mom makes good homemade biscuits. We're going back home where it's not quite so tumultuous. But at any rate, he failed. And we know that it was not what we would think of as an excusable thing, because as we look a little bit further, what we have in Acts chapter 15 and down in verse 38, here on the second missionary journey, that what occurs is, the start of it anyhow, Paul and Barnabas are talking about, let's go. And Barnabas, of course, says, let's take my cousin John. And Paul says, I'm not taking a quitter, my words. He said, look, he's learned his lesson. He's ready to go. Paul said, he failed the first time. Yeah, but he says, of course, I'm just kind of filling in the blanks. But he says he's ready to go. That's what he said the first time. And Paul said, he's not going with me. Barnabas said, he is going with me. He said, well, then fine. We're not going with each other. What was John's problem? He needed to grow, and he needed to demonstrate that growth. And what we find then as we come to the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy 4 and 11 is where Demas has left him, and this person has gone here, and that person has gone there, and he tells Timothy to bring Mark. For he is useful to me for ministry. Mark learned his lesson. He demonstrated it. There's sometimes we want to depend on somebody and they've not demonstrated it. And it causes a problem. It causes friction. You're uneasy. You don't want to disappoint them. But the mission is bigger than they are. He had to prove himself. And so, why would you say, Paul, be thankful always? Because as they move on from this spot, what you have is the continuation of the journey, and in Acts 14 and down in verse 19, Paul left without John Mark because he turned back. And he gets to Antioch and Iconium and then to Lystra, and they're all praying, wow, the voice of a God and all such as this. And the enemies come, follow him, and Luke says for us, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. And so this picture has the disciples standing about. They're looking at the enemies leaving, supposing he was dead. Verse 20, however, says, but while the disciples stood around him, he rose and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Wait a minute. You have just been knocked out. They thought you was dead. He said, just a little shaken up. I'm going to be okay. What do you mean okay? You need some rest. You had a concussion. No, if I stay here, it'll get me. I can preach. So that's what I encourage people to do from my standpoint. If I can stand up without throwing up, I want to stand up and preach. I encourage believers, if you can come without being overcome, if you would go in that condition to work, come to worship. That's part of that commitment. And so he said, well, I have been knocked out and knocked silly, but I'm awake now and we're going to Derby and we got some preaching to do. And you say, wow, how awesome that is. So what's good about being stoned? Well, it didn't kill him. That's how you'd feel, right? Oh, I don't mind being stoned. You know, man, we got the lumps on the head and neck and we're creeping along. We need to appreciate that continuing attitude of thankfulness. In Acts 16, verse 1, still on the second missionary journey, when he had come to Lystra, behold, there was a certain disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman. So, first missionary journey, goes through, converts Timothy. Second missionary journey, he comes through. Timothy is maturing. And in this situation, we find he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted this man to go with him. Why? He demonstrated his faithfulness. This man can be trusted. Well, how do you know Paul converted them? Because he refers to him in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Timothy, my true child in the faith. Well, what about Mark? It was too bad that Mark didn't go. But it was good that when you get around to Timothy, he's ready to go. Mark had some more growing to do. He was an individual, needed a little more time in the oven, I might say. Acts 16, verse 14, on second missionary journey, finally they get across the Aegean over there into Philippi, and Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken of by Paul, and she and her household were baptized. Boy, that is great. That is exciting news. Well, what happens next? Well, the next thing is there in Philippi, and here's this woman with a demon and fortune teller and gets cast out, and the guy said, man, we've been ripped off. What happens? Well, they arrest him, Acts 16, 19, and they seize Paul and Silas and beaten with rods, with many, whack, 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 like picture bamboo, over and over again. And then, Acts 16, 24, they threw him into prison and then into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Well, man, he went something, what was great news? Well, this is terrible news. Well, that is unfortunate. But we need to appreciate in Acts 16, 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Now, one of the things that these pictures don't portray very well for us is we find in a little bit the jailer's going to come in bringing lights. What does that tell you? They don't have, they do not have fluorescent lights and a switch and carpet on the prison floors. The reason the artists don't depict it like that is because it wouldn't do us much good if we got a big black picture. And so this particular artist has some rats running around, and yeah, maybe they did. But in that regard, as their chains fall off, the doors are open, and yet Paul and Silas said, do yourself no harm. The jailer says, eventually, what must I do to be saved? And he and his whole household are baptized. Well, we're looking at Paul. Paul says, give thanks always, because sometimes the thing that we think is really a bad deal may just very much be a good deal. We just don't have God's point of view in that regard just yet. On this slide, of course, is Joe and Karen Bartle, members, co-members of us and Sumner, because they got kids down there and been here historically. And I got a call for, usually I'm calling them. I got a call last night from Joe Bartle, and he said, here's the deal. And many of you know, because of Facebook, a post was made that Karen had been out of the hospital in the Pete Gross house, and then was just put back in. Joe's wording of it is, we had a little setback. Because all the these medications, they all, this one has this bad problem, and this one has this side effect, and this is good, and that's bad. And so she developed a fever, and they're not quite sure what started it or caused it, and so they put her in the hospital for a couple days so they could watch it. So here is Karen with a form of leukemia, extremely serious. The Apostle Paul saying in Colossians 4:2, keeping alert in it, that is in prayer, with an attitude of thanksgiving. As Joe's called me yesterday afternoon and describing the situation, he said, Karen had a minor setback, but we're both of the mindset that it's a long haul. In other words, just a little blip in the road doesn't bother us. And he says, and I quote, we are not complaining. We are thankful. Others have it so much worse. I go, oh, please, how can you have it so much worse? You got bone marrow transplant in the hospital and chemo and this 23 different kind of medications. He said, well, she was on prednisone that's not good. It deteriorates your bones and all this. And if you know Karen, she usually talks pretty fast. And you say, how are you, Karen? No, I'm just fine. How are you? When she's on prednisone, I'm a steroid. Woo! I mean, double the speed. I mean, I'm trying to catch my breath to keep up with her. And Joe was concerned because she was on whatever it was, say, a 55 milligrams of prednisone. He said, but here's this guy we see. It's in the same area. And he's so cheerful and saying, well, how are you? And as we're talking, I found out he's on 155 milligrams. He said, others have it so much worse. I go, wow. He says, she has another 30 days. And the worst part is over. He says, every day is a blessing. Every day we are farther along. I thought, Paul, you get to fretting about little stuff because you're trying to get everything in order and line up all the earthworms and the cats and hummingbirds, and they don't want to line up, and you just do the best you can. And what Joe is saying, look, this is in God's hands. He views, even with their situation, that every day is a blessing. He said, if you didn't have it bad, you'd not appreciate the good. If you know Joe, that sounds just like him. He said, some things you thought important are not so important anymore when you are standing on the edge of a cliff. Isn't that right? Well, there may have been things back there. And they have importance. But you get a perspective that you didn't have before when there's 3,000 feet of, oh my goodness, out before you. Are we a thankful
people? Could we be more thankful?
More cheerful than we are right now. One person said there's always something to be thankful for. But we tend to focus on the little and the irritating stuff that is really bothering us. So I want to look at a handful of things, and then the lesson is yours. You're good so far. Most people are still conscious. Some is a little suspect with the warmth. But I tell you what, I'm really comfortable because from the standpoint of here's people fanning themselves, because in the olden days, isn't that what you had? You had these little fan things and everybody's out there because you didn't have central heating and that. And so I'm fine, fan away. As I think about things we can be thankful for, what about amazing grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I became a Christian when I was 18, and I worked in a corporation. And, of course, as a brand new Christian, I want to tell others, man, I'm a believer. And I remember here's these two gals. I was probably 18, maybe they were 25. And I said, I'm not talking about Christ. I'm a Christian. And they said, you're a Christian? I said, surprise. Why? Because I hadn't been before that. But there was a change. It was amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I am so thankful for that. How about the privilege of prayer? We have our problems, and Hebrew writer said, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. There are some things, if we had to go before the governor or somebody else, and you know, maybe Supreme Court justice, there's trepidation. He says, look, this is your father. He says, Father, I've got a problem and I could use some help. So that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I am so thankful he hears our prayers. I appreciate you. We appreciate generally we appreciate family and friends, and certainly best friends. And you think about the different elements to that. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. One man said, yeah, but you know my wife, Paul, she's crazy. I do know her, but I think you're the cause. And so You think about the dedication, the diligence, that love that flows in that situation. Proverbs 18:24, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Because our technology doesn't work smoothly yet with the technology in the building, of course I press the little clicker and that gets the overhead projectors working, and later on we'll be able to get our individual computers talking with them. But I just appreciate, as I'm here, Richard Baver says, hey, give me your computer, I'll hook up the appropriate things. Travis takes it, and he said, you know, Paul, if you're having trouble keeping up, I'll click your clicker. That meant a lot to me. Just, I thought, boy, if I... Like, I have a friend that he was teaching Bible class the previous Sunday, and a whole lot of slides got missed. And he said, those are the secret slides. That was cool, Ben. And so I realized I need some extra help. And Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. And there's times where you want to strangle them or they you or whatever. But in general, isn't it a joy? You appreciate them, you love them, and it's a reward from God. One person said, if you have a family that loves you, a few good friends, food on the table, and a roof over your head, you are richer than you think. That aspect of friendship and closeness and people that you can depend on and would do anything for you. One graphic said, in the end, you'll see who's fake and who's true and who would risk it all for you. And some people will totally surprise you. And that's true. That's that willingness to share and give, and what can I do to bless you as you bless others? Other things we're thankful for, I don't know if kids think about this as much, but certainly adults and older adults do, is a good night's sleep. Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Last night, I don't sleep really all the night through, but it can be real. How many had a pretty good night's sleep? Would you just raise your hand and maybe say, pretty good. It's just enjoyable. Most of us had puppies, right? And they're just whimpering and wiggling and snoozing right on through, and we appreciate that. That's one of the things we can think about. Well, we may not have this that we wished, but we're blessed with that. And so God blesses us with sweet sleep. We think about different elements of God's creation. You get to go down to the ocean, and we tend to like the smell of the salt air, the sand beneath our feet. In Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. We think about other elements of that for which we can be thankful. For instance, we have Mount Rainier just to the east of us. And the psalmist said Psalm 121, I'll lift up my eyes to the mountains or to the hills. From whence shall come my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. He's not falling asleep on the job. Oh, no, I lost him. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. If we put our confidence in God, if we really have confidence in God, or is that just that pleasant thing we say on Sundays? God, I thank you because you keep me and you're on constant vigil. We thank him for his promises. Genesis 9:13. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it'll be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. We think about our country. We have a song, God Bless America. Yeah, but look all the stuff that's wrong with America. And there's lots of stuff wrong with America. In fact, there's lots of stuff wrong with every country. Ecclesiastes 1:15 says, that which is crooked cannot be straightened. And that which is lacking cannot be counted. Solomon says, in my own nation it's all fouled up. I was talking to an attorney from the Virgin Islands this past week, Thursday, and they were telling me the problem with the court system, there's so much corruption, and the problem with the police is so much corruption, and the problem with corporations is they want to do as little as possible and get paid as much as possible. Sounds like right at home, right? So it just is all over the world. And I thought about that, but I thought about another element too. It's not perfect, but it's better than when our ancestors come from. Paul, how you like to go back to Hungary? No, I don't want to go there. Hey, we have a few problems, but I'll take my problems and we'll work on solving those. When we think about America, we would wish that God would bless her. Apostle Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, then I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. And we think, yeah, but I don't like this president. No, I like this president. I don't like the last president. Well, yeah, but I don't. Everybody has their own opinion. Glenn and I have a real democratic process in our family. Whoever I vote for, she votes for the opposite one. I think, why am I voting? But it is. We live in a country where you can do that. And Paul lived in a country that was an empire. And he said, pray for the kings. Pray for those who are in authority in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. God, thank you for America. Thank you for a land of relative peace that it's not quite as crazy as some other places, but it can be better. For pretty good health. As we think about that, 3 John 2, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. We think about other things, that life's simple joys in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, where that charge the rich not to be high-minded or put their hope on uncertainty on riches, but on God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so think of some of the things to be thankful for. You get up, if some people like coffee, others don't. If you like coffee, you think, the aroma of coffee in the morning, or the sound of bacon, if you like bacon. Or take your mind back maybe to childhood and jumping in the leaves or kicking the leaves or throwing the leaves up in the air and messing up the pile that Dad just made, whatever. But it's autumn and it's a glorious time. How about some homemade bread and maybe homemade strawberry jam? We hope to go down in a couple of weeks and see the other side of the family, Jenny and so forth in Colorado. She makes homemade bread every day. I said, wow, looking forward to that. There's other things. For me, if you want to know what delights me, well, it's going to be cherry pie or apple pie or lemon meringue pie or pecan or pumpkin. In other words, there are a whole lot of things that I think of really appeal to me. It's joyous. Take time. Appreciate those things. And sharing an ice cream cone. And so here's a little girl sharing it with her puppy. Joy's dogs, Oreo and Delphi, would be happy to share an ice cream cone. They're not getting any of mine. And beyond that, take time to smell the roses. Sometimes we'll just walk around the block, and I used never to do that. I do now. If there's roses, I want to enjoy them. Inhale the fragrance. I'm not, woohoo, got a rose. I'm not snapping it off from the vine and carrying it home. I'm enjoying it where it is. God's creation. Think about things like joyous laughter and laughing till your sides hurt. Think about thankfulness for fun things. For instance, you're looking at the top of a roller coaster. And it may be, though, roller coasters aren't your thing. Maybe for you, it's working out, walking on the beach, reading a book, a picnic in the park, a great movie, fulfilling conversation. But if it's me and the Dillingers, why, we're going to Ohio, and maybe it's the Top Thrill Dragster. And we did, and Jeff and I rode that, and Cody and Brandon, 120 miles an hour in 4 seconds, vroom! And you're 420 feet up here, wow! And boom, 20 seconds, it's all done. But you stand in line an hour to do it, and it's totally worth it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. We are appreciating our God. And just this week, I'd come across a little article, Glenn had clipped for me, and it says, here's all 10 different things to do to relieve stress. It says, one, just look up. And I tried it. Every time I felt like, oh boy, there's all these things to do. Just look up. Look at the clouds. I went, wow. It was peaceful. Because the stuff down here is the little stuff. Zzz, the hum and the buzz. You look up. Get a look at life from 30,000 feet. He said, Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Just before getting up, or shortly before, I was back, said hello to Devon and Rebecca Smith, and how are you doing, and so forth. I said, candidly, tense. They said, why? I don't know. Maybe when I preach, I'm always a little bit wound. It keeps me going at a good rate, so I just don't topple over and get a short snooze there. But for whatever reason, I am. God says, put it on my shoulders. That's what I'm here for. In Ezra chapter 3 and in verse 11, the writer said, and all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. It's exciting for us in looking at this possibility. And so Wednesday we'll have little handouts, and Sunday and collect them. And feel free as you go out, talk to Rocky. Say, I've already made up my mind, X, Y, or Z, whatever it happens to be. And that'll be fine. But it's an exciting time, whatever the believers wish to do. And so as you consider that, think about, we're blessed just to be here. We're thankful just to be here today. It's a little warmer than we're used to in a concrete dungeon where we usually are. But that's okay. It just is. It is good to be together. Because, and the last point I want to make is, we need to be thankful. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. How do you get through the tough things of life? You don't go to the horoscopes and Ouija boards. And, oh, what am I going to do? We go to God. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We put our confidence in Him. He's got the power. And that's where we go. Passages that we appreciate and know. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him, or through Christ who strengthens me. Psalm 27:8, the Lord is my strength and my shield. We're going to leave this life a few days from now, a few months, maybe a few years. But one of these mornings, and Bob Hines has got his fingers crossed, he said, I'm ready, my bags are packed, that we're going to fly away. If you've not been baptized into Christ and you want to be ready, we're going to sing this invitation song. Hester, we're going to ask you to come on up and lead that for us. All right, Mike is going to lead that for us. And if you say, you know, I'm ready to be baptized, we can make that happen. We'll make it happen this afternoon, and we'll make it happen right here. You can be Christ, and you'll be ready to fly away. Mike?